This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Heathens, greetings. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio, featuring slightly irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the November 26th, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin.
First, we want to start the show with birthday greetings to Ann Nicole Gaylor, who is President Emerita and Principal Co-Founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who turned 85 yesterday, November 25th.
She has the same last name as you do.
She does, and she is still a guiding force in the non-supernatural sense for FFRF. She's the one who's come up with a lot of FFRF's mottos and aphorisms, such as nothing fails like prayer. There can be no religious freedom without the freedom to dissent. It is possible to speculate endlessly about the non-existent, and she came up with our winter solstice sign that starts at this season of the winter solstice, let reason prevail. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Anne. Free Thought Radio is also broadcasting in Atlanta, in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, in New York City, and of course we podcast throughout the entire natural universe.
Freedom From Religion Foundation is the producer of this weekly program, and we work to keep religion out of government and to represent the views of those of us who are personally free from religion, and we hope someday, today, you will join us at FFRF.org.
Our guest on the second half of today's show will be the newest member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's growing legal team. Andrew Seidel just joined the staff. He was the second place winner in last year's grad student competition with an outstanding essay that brought him to our attention. And we'll tell you more about him, and he'll be telling us about a very busy November of legal activism during his first month working for the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And in a little bit, we'll also play an ode to Mark Twain, whose birth date anniversary is the end of this month.
Now, on to the news portion. First, the good news. Here's a clip from some TV coverage on Fox 11 Tucson of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Out of the Closet billboard campaign in Arizona. We have them up in Tucson and in Phoenix. You'll remember that we interviewed Stephen Yule last week about this and about his migration from Roman Catholic priest to atheist. Here's that clip from Fox 11 in Tucson.
Two new billboards that have gone up in the city have a unique message, and you'll be surprised to see what they say and which group sponsors them.
The billboards at Ajo and Dodge and at Speedway in Maine may have some commuters doing a double take. There's no nudity or foul language on them. However, there's a message from the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Atheists don't have horns, that we love our neighbor. We want our neighbors to progress. We want society to get smarter and live happier, more productive lives.
Dr. Stephen Ull and his wife Diane appear on the two billboards in Tucson. Both are atheists.
We're life members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They see how religion gets in the way of progress at many times.
Grady Scott is the head pastor at Grace Temple Baptist Church.
And if people choose to say that there's no God, they have that right. They have the right to choose, and I think that's beautiful. It's one of the things that, A, makes our country great, but also makes our faith great.
Pastor Scott believes the message on the billboards will not have an effect on Christians.
The people, it may cause some people to think, but again, faith is an individual choice, and if people choose to come to God, I don't think the billboards would keep them from coming.
The Ulls say they're just trying to let people know there are other options.
Encourage them to look at other things rather than doing something for someone else because there's going to be something that happens after this life ends.
The billboard campaign is expected to last about a month. Kevin Adger, Fox 11 News.
There are only two billboards in Tucson, but there are nine up in Phoenix.
It's nice that that pastor was recognizing diversity and freedom of speech, but isn't it interesting that when the news does a story about atheism, they have to find a local balance? Whenever they do a show about religion, do they look up the local atheist to give balance?
I think once I've been asked to provide balance. So now we need to comment on the November 19th, speaking of balance, Thanksgiving Family Forum in Des Moines, Iowa, where half a dozen Republican candidates capitalized on their faith in an attempt to woo conservative voters at this meeting with the faithful. The debate, or we probably should call it a chance for candidates to display religion on their sleeves, was sponsored by a state organization called the Family Leader with the help of Focus on the Family's Citizen Link and the National Organization for Marriage, which I take it is anti-marriage equality. The event was meant to mimic the holiday dinner with six candidates, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, Ron Paul, Rick Perry, and Rick Santorum, gathered around a table participating in a discussion moderated by conservative pollster Frank Luntz.
And listen to what they responded when Frank Luntz asked them what they thought about the presidential oath of office, which ends, he says, with the phrase, "So help me God." Let's hear what Ron Paul said.
It reiterates the fact that we swear to uphold the Constitution and the rule of law. By saying, "So help me God," I really will obey the Constitution and that pledge.
And by the way, notice that none of them acknowledge that "So help me God" is actually not in our secular oath for the presidential office.
Yeah, the U.S. Constitution actually contains the wording for the oath or affirmation by the president, and there is no God in it. There's no "put your hand on a Bible" in it. And now we have Herman Cain's little pledge about "So help me God."
"So help me God" means that I am ultimately responsible to God Almighty. It is an expression of asking for God to help me in such an important job.
This does get pretty repetitious. Here's Michelle Bachmann.
"I got on my knees, admitted I was a sinner. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I recognize that my actions just aren't about this world. I'll have to answer to God in the next world." And that's a part of being president. When you take that oath, we're answerable to God for the decisions that we make.
Yeah, I thought we were answerable to we the people when you're running you're president of the secular nation.
Well, I guess not when you're a theocratic candidate.
I bet you can't wait to hear what Texas Governor Rick Perry has to say about this.
It's really original.
We have to have that eternal wisdom that comes from God. So help me God. It's almost a plea. The idea that I would walk into that without God Almighty holding me up would scare me to death.
Yeah, to scare, well, maybe it might scare some of the voters to death that a candidate needs a God, otherwise he's worthless, otherwise he can't think how to solve problems. In fact, Rick Perry made similar comments over the August 6th day of fasting and prayer that he called that FFRF sued over before he was a candidate. The same kind of thing. We can't possibly run our government without supernatural intervention.
It's like saying, "Vote for me. I don't have a clue how to run this country, but I got a friend who does," right?
Newt Gingrich's pledge.
"We have to measure what we do within the framework of God's greater plan. A country which has been now, since 1963, relentlessly in the courts driving God out of public life shouldn't be surprised at all the problems we have, because we've in fact attempted to create a secular country, which I think is frankly a nightmare."
You know, the ignorance and the level of religious, I guess you call it, saber rattling going on here. We have a godless constitution. We are the first nation to have a secular government. It's the longest lived constitution because there isn't religion in it. The only references to religion are exclusionary, no religious test for public office. How does Newt Gingrich turn that into a religious constitution?
And who would ever want to go back to history before 1963 when things weren't that great? It was since that time that so many gains have been made. Okay, now here's Rick Santorum's take.
"Our rights come to us from our Creator, but our civil laws have to comport with the higher law."
And now we come to this very shocking comment by Rick Santorum. It's in regard to a comment by candidate John F. Kennedy. Now, note both Kennedy was the famous first Catholic president, one of the first Catholic candidates for the presidency. He had to, of course, make a famous speech to Protestant clergy in Houston in 1960, saying that the Vatican wouldn't be telling him what to do. Rick Santorum is also Catholic, and look at the difference between today and 1960, where we have the Catholic Rick Santorum making these condemning remarks about J.F. Kennedy's speech in 1960.
I had the opportunity to read the speech, and I almost threw up. In my opinion, it was the beginning of the secular movement of politicians to separate their faith from the public square. And he threw faith under the bus in that speech.
Well, we should be separating your personal faith from the public square. And JFK was right, and it was wonderful, the speech that he gave. Let's listen to some of the actual speech that JFK made in 1960, which makes Rick Santorum want to throw up.
I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute, where no Catholic prelate would tell the president, should he be Catholic, how to act, and no Protestant minister would tell his parishioners for whom to vote. When no church or church school is granted any public funds or political preference, and when no man is denied public office merely because his religion differs from the president who might appoint him or the people who might elect him. I believe in an America that is officially neither Catholic, Protestant, nor Jewish, where no public official either requests or accepts instructions on public policy from the Pope, the National Council of Churches, or any other ecclesiastical source. When no religious body seeks to impose its will, directly or indirectly, upon the general populace or the public acts of its officials.
Beautiful words. We'll probably be replaying this several times in the next election year.
From every mountainside, he's saying, let freedom ring. We all have freedom of conscience. By the way, when we play that song, Let Freedom Ring, we sometimes hear from British listeners to Free Thought Radio who say, why are you playing the music to God Save the Queen? Well, you British listeners, in the United States, that's a song.
We took it over.
My Country, Tis of Thee. We took that melody.
So when we hear the melody,
we hear Let Freedom Ring.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. I'm Dan Barker. And stay tuned. We're going to be talking with Andrew Seidel. I said his name wrong earlier, not Seidel. Andrew Seidel. And we'll also be speaking about Mark Twain, celebrating and honoring some of his music about some of his words.
Hi, my name is Dick Hewitson from San Francisco, California, and I used to be an Episcopal priest, but then I saw the light. I'm on Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
So many rational stalwarts have had November birth dates. Ann Nicol Gaylor, as we mentioned earlier, Voltaire, Spinoza, Andrew Carnegie, who was a non-believer who felt that it was sinful to die wealthy, Kurt Vonnegut, Robert Dell Owen, Ivan Turgenev, Carl Sagan, Nehru, Aaron Copland, Scott Joplin, Eugene V. Debs, Albert Camus, Edmund Halley, Pat Tillman, Von Schiller, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Rodin, Bjork. What a rich free thought heritage we can point to. And of course, Mark Twain, who was born November 30th, 1835, the humorist, novelist, and social critic.
The War Prayer was one of Twain's most trenchant pieces of social criticism. The December line that there may be peace on earth is probably never going to be achieved until religion and religious differences, fulminating wars and excusing atrocities is no longer honored. Dan was inspired to put the Mark Twain's war prayer to music.
The following is from Mark Twain's 1904 war prayer, which has been called perhaps his most prophetic piece of writing. It's the story of a preacher who has just finished praying for God to guide the nation's soldiers to victory. When into the church walks a mysterious stranger who turns to the congregation and utters aloud the real unspoken prayer of their hearts. O Lord, our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to drown the thunder of their guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out roofless, with their little children to wander unfriended the wastes of their desolated land, in rags and hunger and thirst, imploring thee for the refuge of the grave, and denied it. For our sakes who adore thee, Lord, blast their hopes, blight their lives, protract their bitter pilgrimage, make heavy their steps, water their way with tears, stain the white snow with the blood of their wounded feet. We ask it in the spirit of love, of Him who is the source of love, and who is the ever faithful refuge and friend of all who are sore beset and seek His aid. With humble and contrite hearts, amen.
Put to music and performed by Dan Barker. And so we don't end on a grim note, Dan. What's one of our favorite Mark Twain aphorisms?
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord.
And I'm Dan Barker. Coming up, we'll introduce you to the newest member of FFRF's hardworking and productive legal team, Andrew Seidel. He'll tell us what he's been up to during his first month working for the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Andrew Seidel graduated cum laude from Tulane University with a B.S. in neuroscience. So that's where the B.S. comes from. A B.S. in neuroscience and environmental science and magna cum laude from Tulane University Law School, where he was awarded the Haber J. McCarthy Award for Excellence in Environmental Law. He studied human rights and international law at the University of Amsterdam, traveled the world on Semester at Sea. In May 2011, Andrew completed his Master of Laws at Denver University, Sturm College of Law with a 4.0 GPA, was awarded the Outstanding LLM Award. He's written a book on international human rights law, and his essay on the role of religion in government and the founding of our nation placed second in the Freedom From Religion Foundation's 2010 Graduate Student Essay Contest. Andrew Seidel is a former Grand Canyon tour guide, and he's an accomplished nature photographer. His work's been displayed in galleries in Colorado, Texas, Florida, Louisiana, and Maryland. He joined the FFRF staff in November 2011 as a constitutional consultant. So
and,
welcome.
And legal clerk.
And legal clerk.
About to get past the bar in Wisconsin.
So we can't yet say he's an attorney in Wisconsin. He's an attorney somewhere else, but not yet in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm a Colorado attorney, just not yet barred in Wisconsin.
So welcome to Free Thought Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Andrew, why don't you first tell us a little bit about your Free Thought pedigree?
Well, I was raised by a free-thinking mom. She kind of let me go to church and temple and anywhere I wanted to go, but never really forced anything upon me. So I think I was very lucky in that respect. And then in law school, I read The God Delusion, and I became introduced to the Constitution and the First Amendment and kind of fell in love with it. And from then on, it was free thought all the way.
Now, your essay, The Wall of Separation Requires Vigilance, it's at our website. It was actually the debut of our graduate student competition for graduate students, and you have turned this into a law review article.
That's correct, and I've expanded it quite a bit. Obviously, a law review article has to be longer. I think that one had a 1,000-word limit.
Yeah, something like that.
And now the law review article is about 70 pages, which is fairly typical, heavily footnoted, and instead of just talking about the Christian nation fallacy, it also goes into... People tend to back that up by saying, well, at least we were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And so I really look at that and I compare some of the themes in the Bible with the themes of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
And you're not going to find too many in common, are you?
No, not many at all.
And I was really struck. I still remember when we were reading your essay for the first time, trying to figure out who to award it to. You pointed out that, you know, 15% of the population, as we all know, is non-religious. And you pointed out, statistically, if that many Americans were non-religious, that means at least 80 members of Congress
should be, yeah,
ain't religious.
Correct. And I think there probably are. I think most of them are just, you know, they're looking for votes, so they're keeping quiet about their free thinking.
Well, and it proves that Unitarianism makes a great cover.
Now, how can someone find your law review article? We should put a link on
it. It's
on
out for publication right now, so I don't know that it's going to be published actually yet. It's hopefully it will be, and if not, I'll revise it and send it back.
We saw the draft of it.
Correct.
Okay.
And there's a picture with your article on our webpage of you with your wife, Lizzie, there too. So.
Yep. And we just moved to Wisconsin. I actually moved so I could start work at the beginning of the month, but we just moved in Saturday.
Wow.
So we traveled with a truck and our dog and our parents from Colorado, and they helped us move in. And
so she's an attorney. Is the dog an attorney too?
The dog is not an attorney. It's just very big, 95-pound lab.
Now, you got married this spring?
Yes, we got married actually in March in Colorado Springs. We wrote our own vows. So even though it was a very religious town, we wrote our own vows, and it was beautiful, beautiful ceremony.
And you met Liz at Tulane when she was a law student there too?
Correct. Yes, we met in law school, and that kind of forges a special bond. It's a very difficult time.
So you are joining our legal staff. We have three staff attorneys. In addition, we have interns and stuff.
We have four now. Well, four staff attorneys.
Well, when he passes the bar.
Yeah.
And but you've been doing research as a constitutional consultant on a number of issues, timely issues for FFRF. And why don't we talk about, I think, what's a big one. It's not Thomas Jefferson. The person's name is Danny Jefferson. Why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, that's Pastor Danny Jefferson in Vallejo, California. And he was endorsing candidates via his church's official YouTube webpage. So he has, on the webpage, he has a bunch of videos of himself preaching, and then he put up a video that I think we'll listen to the audio right now.
I recommend you re-elect and we re-elect Mayor Osby Davis, who has done a great job. Also would like to recommend Erin Hannigan, Councilwoman Erin Hannigan, who was very instrumental, very key in the balancing of that budget. Jonathan Logan, I believe he's a newcomer. I support Jonathan Logan wholeheartedly. My final recommendation in terms of city council is Jesus Mogapo. Lastly, I also encourage you to vote yes on Measure B.
Okay, so Andrew, what we heard was from the pulpit, and this was something that the church put up at a website, outright endorsement of a whole bunch of local candidates.
Correct. This is the official YouTube webpage of the church, and it's the pastor endorsing political candidates on that webpage.
You're not supposed to do that.
Well, not if you want to keep your tax-exempt status. So we've written a letter to the IRS and informed them of this violation, and they're actually investigating him right now.
And for the listener new to this issue, why is this a violation? Why should we be concerned about endorsements from the pulpit?
Well, I mean, if you're a church, you have tax-exempt status. You don't have to pay taxes. You have 501c3, and you're not allowed to engage in any electioneering or any political lobbying.
And this is because, essentially, taxpayers are subsidizing you, and so
Correct.
It makes it an unfair political battle.
Correct. Correct.
Have you ever heard us endorse any candidates on this radio show?
I have not.
Never.
We can't never do such a thing. We can dissect views on separation of church and state, but yeah. Other than that, and religion. So that was a big complaint. And then another really big complaint that you've been investigating and working on is citizen oaths for new naturalized citizens by the immigration services, where they have to say, "So help me God." And this was an issue that Rebecca Markert, our senior staff attorney, and I thought we had resolved.
Correct. We had a victory on this issue. We had the USCIS, that's the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, post on their website that people are allowed to affirm instead of taking this oath, and they don't have to say, "So help me God."
And we've had complaints from a number of people who want to become citizens contacting us saying, you know, you go to the website and they show you the oath and it says, "So help me God, there's no way to avoid it."
Correct. And we had them post that you can avoid it. And actually, by law in the Code of Federal Regulations, you are allowed to affirm as opposed to take the oath.
And we had gotten them to change their website to show that. It wasn't showing it. So we thought we had this victory. And then what happened?
Now the website has changed back. So we've written another letter and we've actually included, there's another aspect to this where if you're a non-believer, you're being forced to put in writing why you don't want to take the oath. You're being subjected to an interview, most likely because of that. And then a federal employee is looking at your answers and judging whether or not they're sufficient enough to allow you to take an affirmation as opposed to the oath.
Yeah, it's really outrageous. You have to, in writing, go into great detail
Correct.
About why you don't want to take a religious oath, and you have to invoke your own, quote-unquote, religious beliefs.
Correct. Which... So that was an issue we also touched on. They only mention you can get out of the oath based on your religious beliefs. And as atheists, we have no religious beliefs. We simply reject religious belief.
So we're not even really being acknowledged
Correct.
By immigration services.
We're not even, this isn't even eligible for us.
And actually, we had another complaint going concerning the oath for federal workers that you worked on.
Correct. Well, and if I can just touch on one more thing about that. The obstacle that they put up by questioning people who don't want to take the oath, that in itself shows favoritism towards religion, and that in and of itself is constitutional. And then having federal employees judge whether or not your beliefs are sufficient enough to get you out of the oath is an entanglement, which means it's unconstitutional as well.
Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be a secular affirmation? And people who are religious could ask, by the way, can I say so help me God?
Absolutely.
That's the way it should be in a secular country.
It's like a religious test to become a citizen.
Absolutely.
So, but, and then the federal oath, we discovered this because of that crazy vote in Congress, in the House, to reaffirm "In God We Trust" as the national motto. And the wording on that talked about how all the federal workers take an oath to God. And I thought, wait a minute. So you look that up.
Yeah, in the introduction to that law where they have the whereas, mm-hmm. one of the whereas was, whereas all federal employees are required to take an oath that says, "So help me God." And that's actually not true. They're not required to take an oath that says, "So help me God." And many of the agencies are quite explicit, say you don't have to say, "So help me God," if you don't want. They're actually better than the Customs and Immigration Services.
But we did write the Attorney General to oversee that.
Correct, because there is no uniformity across mm-hmm. the agencies. Some agencies are good about it, and some agencies are really bad about it, and they don't say anything except the oath with "So help me God." And that's got to change.
And if you want the job, you sure don't want to stand out like a sore thumb in a religious society, do you?
Yeah, you're starting at a new work, and unlike me, if you come out and say, you know, you don't believe in God, that can cause some serious problems for you.
Remember when we got married, we had to object twice to the oath that said, "Are you telling the truth, so
in
help
Dane
you
County.
God?" Yeah, we said, we're atheists and we can't take that oath. And she says, oh. So she looked up her notes and said, oh, well, do you affirm to tell the truth, so help you God? And we had twice to object.
Painfully explain the problem. Finally, we got our marriage
license. She looked up the statute and read the exact affirmation.
So that was a long time ago. Hopefully things have changed. So then you did a lot of work on the Florida school prayer bill.
Correct. This is one of my favorites. We had a number of complaints about this, and the Florida legislature has a bill up for passage right now. I think it's in the Judiciary Committee still, and it's allowing school boards to vote on whether or not schools are allowed to have school prayer. So it's a little convoluted, and the reason they're trying to do this is they're trying to make it constitutional to pray in schools, which they've done five separate things to try to make this bill acceptable. They've said that it has to be at voluntary and commencement activities only, prayer. They've said that it's at the discretion of the student government, that it's given by student volunteers, that it's non-sectarian, which they actually removed the non-sectarian language.
So now it's okay to pray to Jesus.
Correct. And then the school personnel aren't allowed to participate. And none of these things make it any more constitutional. Graduation is not really voluntary. The Supreme Court has ruled on that a number of times.
That you shouldn't have to absent yourself from the culmination of your years of schooling because you don't want to be prayed at.
Correct. You're being forced to choose between going to your graduation or listening to a prayer, essentially. And that's not a fair choice. At the discretion of the student government, fundamental rights can't be trampled on by a vote. That's the whole point of the Bill of Rights. And then whether it's given by student volunteers, that doesn't really matter because it's going to be approved by a school board policy anyway. And the same goes for school personnel not being allowed to participate. It's approved by a school board policy, which means it's government endorsement.
So, well, I think that this memo you researched thoroughly trounced the constitutionality of this bill. We got some good media on it, and obviously it's going nowhere, but I suppose they want it to end up at the Supreme Court and think they're going to change the law, but it's very well settled.
Well, and I mean, the thing that's most astounding about it is that it's in this economic climate, you're passing a bill that's guaranteed to lose school districts money. It's financially reckless.
Yes. Now, we are talking with Andrew Seidel, the newest member of FFRF's
legal
team.
Our constitutional consultant.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. We'll be right back to continue our conversation about the separation of church and state.
And Andrew's favorite complaint, I think, which was over a Ten Commandments. So we'll be back soon.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're continuing our conversation with Andrew Seidel, the newest member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation staff, who has come on board this month as a constitutional consultant, soon to be passing the bar, and we could call him an attorney later for the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And Andrew, you've been working on a lot of timely things, and we've been discussing some of the state church violation fires that you've been putting out. And one of them, I think, is particularly pernicious. It concerns a sheriff in Onslow County. What state is that?
That's in North Carolina. And Sheriff Brown wrote a letter that he published in the local newspaper to all decent and respectable citizens of a decent and respectful society. And on that letter, he posted his badge. He called himself the sheriff. He signed it a caring and serving sheriff. So he took out this ad, and he's using his badge, his title, and the weight of his office to proselytize.
And possibly taxpayer money. We don't know that yet.
Yes, we're working on that part, and we have a request to them for the records on how this was paid for. But the letter is, I mean, it's really just astounding. Some of the here, I'll just read a little bit. Is the opinion of one with a doctrinal degree in whatever subject greater than the truth of God, or greater than those decent and respectable standards? Our society is in a big mess today because of good, decent, and respectful citizens have ignored the truth of God, good common sense, and a decent standard because of an opinion given by someone with a doctrinal degree who has no wisdom. Wisdom comes only from God. When Americans turn back to God's law, and remember, I mean, this is a sheriff who is writing this, and he's talking about God's law. I mean, that is just plain scary. My fellow believers, do not wait and watch to see what may be. Instead, stand up and be counted for the cause of God. And remember, there are no loopholes or places for opinion in the law of God, the Ten Commandments.
So he's running for office, wants God to be the person who selects him, I guess.
Correct. I mean, this is just a blatant violation.
So out of all the people that he has arrested or his deputies have arrested, what percentage of them actually do believe in God?
That's an interesting question. Well, this sheriff actually also has a policy in place where any of his employees caught in an extramarital affair are automatically fired. And he's fired, I think, 18 people over the past 14 years or something like that. Those stats aren't exact.
And were they all atheists?
I doubt it. So, a very strong letter went out. I think also invoking the North Carolina state constitution, did it not?
Not that one.
But pointing out, you wrote the his head.
We wrote the county board of commissioners. He's using the county's name, Onslow County, and on his badge it says Onslow County and has the county seal. So we wrote the county to inform them of this, and we'll probably be hearing from their attorney soon.
Yeah, that just went out, so we expect to get some resolution on that, and also find out whether taxpayer money was involved. That's shocking.
It really is. It's incredibly egregious.
Even to me, who's been in this business, quote unquote, for 30 some years, that was a shocking violation. And then you said your personal favorite so far is what?
Yeah, the Ten Commandments are a personal favorite of mine because I think they're just plain silly. And we're dealing with a small town somewhere down south. I'm not going to say just yet because the letter hasn't gone out. But they have the Ten Commandments posted in a park. They have their town's name on it. They have a cross on it. They have the date of incorporation of their town and the full set of Ten Commandments, the Anglican / Protestant version.
So not the Catholic version that is minus the
graven
images.
Correct.
So we have a Protestant version, Ten Commandments.
So they've picked a particular religion and they've put their town's name on it and they put
their
town's date of incorporation and a cross and put it on town property.
So that is quite a violation.
Quite a violation, and I'm looking forward to writing that letter.
Now, we had actually the Ten Commandments came up in the Oslo County Sheriff's violation as well. And now in your essay and in your, I'm sure, your law review article encountered this claim that the Constitution has something to do with the Ten Commandments. So how would you rebut that?
I mean, that's a very popular claim, and I take about, I think, mostly half of my article is about that. I actually go through the commandments one by one, and I talk about where they possibly may influence our law, our constitution, and why that's generally not the case. And in most cases,
there's no Ten Commandments in the Constitution.
Correct.
Of course.
In most cases, there's no influence whatsoever to be found. Mm-hmm. And in the few laws that are seen in our laws, such as don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, those predate Christianity, and they're not exclusive to Judeo-Christianity by any means.
And they're interpreted very differently.
Correct. So there's no reason to say that that is part of our law because of Judeo-Christianity, whatever Judeo-Christianity may be.
And I would feel that the Bill of Rights are the antithesis of the Ten Commandments.
I agree. I mean, don't make graven images is protected by the First Amendment.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely allowed to make graven images if you want.
I mean, you can believe in whatever God you want or no God at all.
Correct.
I want to ask you, we just have about 60 seconds here. You were a practicing attorney in Colorado doing what, evictions and bankruptcies and that. So now you come to a nonprofit organization to work for constitutional law. Why do you care so much about this?
I think this is the most important thing. I mean, you can't have true freedom if your government is not free from religion. And as far as working for a nonprofit, I'd be much happier working for a nonprofit.
Isn't this more fun?
It is a lot more fun.
Hey, though, we've already asked you some questions about evictions because we had an unusual piece of property that we had to evict somebody from. Somebody put it in a bequest. So we've been using your brain power for that as well. So, well, welcome to the staff, Andrew Seidel.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure working
with you.
Thank you. And we also want to thank our producer and our engineer, Dave McCann, and Buzz Kemper, our announcer. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio to sign up for the archives or for the podcast.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. If you become a member, it's deductible for you. It supports our broadcasts, our podcasts, our newspaper, our litigation, our staff attorneys, and our work. And tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday.